Let's now go into the Bible, to the book of Acts again. And we'll be reading Acts chapter 16, verse 1 to 10. Acts chapter 16, verse 1 to 10. I'm reading from the ESV. Acts chapter 16, verse 1 to 10. I will read. Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was then named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bethania, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Taurus. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we have come to the point when we are going to hear from your word. We pray that you speak to us through your word, Lord. Help us not to be only hearers, but to be also doers of your word. Lord, use me just as a vessel to speak to your people. And let your word go forth with power and authority. Pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Yes, so I've given a title to this message as Continuing Faithfully in Ministry. In our series, the book of Acts, we are still continuing the consideration of the witness to the utmost parts of the earth. The other Sunday, before last Sunday, we saw how the letter from Jerusalem was delivered to its recipients. And we also consider the events that occurred thereafter the reception of this letter. We saw how Paul decided to go on to the second missionary journey. And we saw how a sharp disagreement happened between Paul and Barnabas. Which even led to a separation, so that Paul had now go with Silas and Barnabas go with Mark. But it was encouraging to see that later there was a reconciliation and Paul and Barnabas continued working together, which is something which is a lesson to us, because even today there will be misunderstandings, there are misunderstandings and they continue being there. But reconciliation is very important. So we also saw how it is important to continue listening to the gospel so that we are encouraged to live the Christian life. Today we shall consider how the second missionary journey went on, with visiting the churches which had already been planted, and also going to places which the gospel had not reached yet. This is what we see from verse 1 of chapter 16, which reads, Paul also came to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was Greek. So on this second missionary journey, Paul and Silas now take a different route from that which was taken by Paul and Barnabas on the second missionary journey. So as we saw from the end of the last chapter, this time they first started with Syria and Cilicia. Which was in the north of Antioch. And then here we see that they proceed to the cities of Derbe and Lystra. So in the initial missionary journey, they sailed so much before getting to land. But here we see that they first go on land, they use land, and they will sail on the sea later. Here we see that a third person, who is Timothy, is going to be their companion. And this Timothy was believed to be a resident of Lystra. He's described as a disciple here, showing that he had believed and become a true Christian. And he's the same Timothy to whom Paul addressed the two letters, that's 1st and 2nd Timothy. We see that one of his parents was Jewish, that's his mother, who is called Eunice, And his father was Greek. His name is not mentioned anywhere. But we also come to know, especially when Paul writes to Timothy later, that Eunice was also a Christian. And even Lois, who was the grandmother of Timothy, was also a Christian, and they had sincere faith, as Paul described it when he was writing to Timothy. It seems these three became Christians on Paul's first missionary journey. That's Timothy, his mother and grandmother. They became Christians when Paul and Barnabas had gone to these cities to preach the gospel there. But we also learn later in the letters which Paul wrote to Timothy, that Timothy had known the sacred writings from his childhood. And it shows that the mother of Timothy, Eunice, took care to show that Timothy, to make sure that Timothy got to know the Old Testament scriptures. Something which even the parents of today should copy. They should expose their children to the scriptures when they're still young. So that their children will prove very helpful and faithful to ministry if the Lord saves them later, as Timothy did. Father, we see in verse 2 that he was well spoken of by the brothers and at Lystra and Iconium. This was a good reputation. Timothy had a good name among the brethren at Lystra and at Iconium. These two cities were very close to each other. So it is possible that Timothy would travel from Lystra to go to Iconium to minister unto the brothers there. That's why it is possible that this good reputation was because of his conduct and the way he was ministering to the people there. That's why Paul, would, as we'll see in the next verse, wanted him to become their companion. It is a very beautiful thing for a Christian to have a good reputation among believers and even among the world. And on the other hand, it's very shameful and dishonoring to the Lord for a Christian to have a bad reputation. May the Lord help you who is truly born again, that you have a good reputation among other believers and even the world. So that this will be a very good testimony to the gospel which you should be even sharing among the world and even believers. So this is what we read in verse 3, that Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So because of the good reputation which Timothy had, Paul sees that he would be a good companion and probably a replacement to Mark. But it seems strange here that Paul would now take Timothy and circumcise him. One reading this may say, isn't Paul contradicting himself here? Especially because the council at Jerusalem had just decided that no one should be circumcised so as to be truly believers. And even Paul here was carrying instructions to take to these churches to show them that the Gentiles did not need to be circumcised. But here, on a closer look, we see that the reason why Paul took Timothy and circumcised him was not so that Timothy would be regarded as one who is truly saved, but it was so as to remove all the barriers which would come in the way of Timothy's ministry among the Jews. Especially as we read here that there were Jews there, meaning the unconverted Jews, who knew that Timothy's father was a Gentile. So here, what Paul was doing was what he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 20. Where he says, to the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law. Though not being myself under the law, that I may win those under the law. So because those Jews had known that Timothy's father was a Greek, they would be very sure that this Timothy had not been circumcised. And there's no way they would allow him to stand in their synagogues to preach to them, because they considered all those who were uncircumcised as unclean. And even Paul himself would have taken as one who has profaned their synagogues for allowing someone who was not circumcised to enter there. In fact, later in Jerusalem, he was accused that he had profaned the temple. Because they thought that he had taken there some Gentiles who were not circumcised. In Galatians, for example, we read that when Paul went to Jerusalem with Titus, he could not allow him to be circumcised, because although he was a Gentile, but he was truly saved. And there the Judaizers wanted him to be circumcised, thinking that if he was not circumcised, he was not truly a Christian. But Paul would not allow that because he was a disagreement with these Judaizers. So the case of Timothy is a very different case compared to that of Titus. And even in the case of Timothy, we see that he had some Jewish heritage, his mother being a Jew. However, as we have said, the major reason was to remove any obstacles from Timothy's ministry. Yes, even today it is very, very important to be careful to remove any obstacles which will prevent us from preaching the gospel. Sometime back, I had to go and preach in the chapel of the Anglicans. But before going to their pulpit, they told me I should first go to the back room. And there they gave me their white clothes, which the preachers put on before going to the pulpit. And so if I had refused to put on those clothes, there's no way I would stand on their pulpit. So I voluntarily put on them so as to remove any barriers to my ministry to them. And I don't think this is compromise in any way. What I see as compromise today is when the so-called new Calvinists say that now to win the world, we have to behave like the world, put on the world, listen to what the world listens to. That is compromise. So we should avoid any compromise, but we should be careful to remove any barriers which hinder our preaching or ministry. Further in verse 4, this is what we read. And as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So it must be that after Lystra, they went also to Iconium. and also to Antioch or Pisidia, because these were the cities which they had gone to in their first missionary journey. And here was Timothy, also now accompanies Paul and Silas. So in these cities they had been there, they had preached the gospel, they had even ordained elders. So now the intention here was to see how these Christians were doing and also to deliver the instruction from Jerusalem. It is possible that these false teachings of the Judaizers had also now reached these cities. Yes, so, but it was also very important that these Gentile believers do not cause offense to the Jewish believers who were there. So that's why they had to go and tell them that they should not eat food offered to idols, they should not eat blood. And that they should also abstain from sexual immorality. So we see now the results of their ministry in verse 5, where we read that, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in numbers daily. The word used for strengthened here means to make solid, to make more firm, or to be established. It is like a plant whose roots have gone deeper into the ground. So that now it cannot be uprooted by wind. So it was very important for the Apostle Paul and his companion to be sure that these believers were strong in the faith. Because the false teaching, especially that of the Judaizers, would have shaken their assurance in the faith, and it would have rendered them weak. So that's why it was important to give them these instructions from the Council of Jerusalem. So that the Gentile believers would know that even if they are not circumcised, they were truly believers in Jesus Christ. Yes, it is very important even today for believers to be strengthened in the faith, especially in the midst of the false teachings which are all over in the so-called Christian radio stations and TV stations. So the true Christians need to know the truth of the scriptures and be stable and established, so that they will not be taken away by every wind of doctrine. So here we see two very important things which should be happening in the church, which is spiritual growth of the believers and also conversion of the sinners. We should not be comfortable if one of them is not happening in our midst. Yes, we should ensure that if spiritual growth is going on, the sinners should also be converted in our midst. Because this should call you to pray for those who are sinners among us, and also go out and witness to the sinners, praying that God will save them. Yes, let's see that these two important things are always happening at RBC. So we see that further, they now proceeded to the places where the gospel had not reached. That's why we read in verse 6 that, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So after finishing to preach or to minister to the brethren in the churches which were already planted, they felt a need to go also and evangelize those areas where the gospel had not reached yet. That's why here they wanted to proceed to the Western Roman province. Of Asia, which is here just called of the Roman province of Asia, which is just called Asia here. Well, this province was located in the western sector of Asia Minor, which is modern Turkey, where cities like Ephesus, Sardis, Colossae, and other cities were located. So although they wanted to go and preach the gospel there, it was not God's plan for them to go and preach there. That's why we read here that they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Here we are reminded about God's sovereignty even in evangelism. So here we see that God was deciding who should receive the gospel at what time. Because it is not clear how the Holy Spirit forbid them from going to preach the gospel to Asia. But we see far in other places in scripture that later these places were evangelized. And actually Paul was able to go to Ephesus at some point and plant a church there. But even when we read Revelation chapter 1 to 3, we see that in this area churches were planted. Yes, apart from Ephesus, other churches were planted in cities like Sidas, like Laodicea. So although God did not allow them to go there now, but later other evangelists, including Paul, were able to go to this region and preach the gospel there. But this shows to us that this work of evangelism is God's work. It is not man's business. That's why God was, the Holy Spirit was telling them not to go here. God was using them as instruments to do His work. Yes, and even today we should know that we are God's instruments, and we should seek to be used again and again in the work of ministry. It is not our work, it is God's work. That's why sovereignly he forbid them from going to Asia. We see further in the next verse that when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bethania, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So further here we see that the Holy Spirit, who is described as the Spirit of Jesus, did not allow them again to go into Bethania, because they wanted to proceed from this country, which is called Mysia, to Bethania. But again, it was not God's will that the people at Bethania received the gospel at this time, or through the hands of Paul and his companion. So Mysia was a country in the northern, in the northwestern part of Asia Minor, which was located in the east of Bethania. Again, it is not clear how the Holy Spirit forbid them from going there, but probably it was through a vision, or he impressed it on their minds that they should not go and preach the gospel to Bethania. But again, we see from especially Peter's first epistle, when he mentions the recipients of his letter, Bethania was one of the places where this letter was going, showing that it is possible, it is very possible that later other evangelists went there and preached the gospel. And so it pleases God to use his people differently, the way he wants to, for them to preach his word. And no one can question him and say, why are you doing things this way and not that way? Because he's sovereign and he does as he pleases. But of course, to a Christian, this is a source of comfort, because we know that he does all things well and for the good of those who are the called. So we see in verse 8 that they now just passed through Mysia and went down to Taurus. So they understood very well that this is God's work, and they had to obey when he says, do not go here. They had to obey and go through a different region. So zealous as they were to preach the gospel, they had to obey the voice of God to not to preach where he did not want them to preach. Yes, and obedience is very, very important in ministry. Knowing that this work is God's work, we should always seek guidance on how to do ministry for God. So this Taurus was a city which was located on the coast of the Aegean Sea. And this shows that they are now moving close to Europe, because this agency was the sea which was dividing Asia and Europe. We see now that Paul gets, in verse 9, gets the well-known Macedonian call. Where we read, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" Probably this vision was through a dream, or probably it was like the case of Peter, where he went into a trance. But this vision shows that God was now guiding them to go into Macedonia to preach the gospel there. Because they were very sure of that, because in the vision, the man was saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Notice here how the preaching of the gospel is described as help. Yes, and this, there's no more important help than this. Because sinners are in very great need to be rescued. And it is through this preaching of the gospel that God rescues them from the terrible malady of sin. Yes, and yet some of you who are even listening to me have heard this offer of help again and again and have ignored it. May the Lord help you that you see your need, so that you will be able to repent and believe the gospel. Yes, such Macedonian calls are happening again and again, even today. Because there are so many places all over the world which are still unreached and need the preaching of the gospel to be rescued from sin. Yes, as a church, we should seriously consider missions to the world. So that we'll be able to respond to the many Macedonian calls which are all over now, because so many people have not heard the gospel, the true gospel. We see now in verse 10 that they proceeded to plan and to continue on how on going to Macedonia. Where we read that, "And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." So this vision was a direction from God on where to go next. And they concluded that indeed God was directing them to go to Macedonia. Yes, and Macedonia was located in Europe, where the cities like the city of Philippi was located. And so now God wanted them to leave Asia to go into Europe. Notice how Luke here uses the word we when he's describing what happened. Showing that now he had also become part of the company So further they will proceed and go to Europe, as we'll see from next Sunday, God willing. But these were faithful brothers who labored faithfully and in obedience to God's leading. May we seek to be like them, to be faithful in ministry, and be obedient to God in each and every way as we minister to Him. As we end, I want to read through this hymn, which we called our anthem for this section of this book. Yeah, the first stanza reads, "There is a call comes ringing over the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Yes, this is the rescue, this is the help which is needed by sinners. And so a light needs to be sent to them to be rescued, to be saved." And the chorus says, "Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light and let its radiant beams light the world forevermore. Verse 2 reads, "We have heard the Macedonian call today. Yes, and we have heard it in this church today." He said, "Send the light, send the light. The golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light." Yes, and may these last two stanzas indeed, the second last stanza, may it indeed be a prayer to us today. Read, "Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound." It says, "Send the light, send the light." And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. And the last stanza now, "Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above." Indeed, may we be able to gather it through our ministry of sharing the gospel as we send the light to those who are in darkness. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your words this day. Thank you for speaking to us and reminding us of how we should be faithful in the ministry, and how we should obey you, and how we should be careful that obstacles are removed on our way of ministry. Lord, help those who have been hearing this call again and again, but have ignored it. Save them, O Lord. transform their lives, and indeed they will be able to receive this help. We thank you for this day. Help us to be faithful in sharing the gospel and in even living our lives as a testimony to this gospel. Thank you, and we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.